Hi, this is Stephen Cherry for IEEE Spectrum's This Week in Technology. Picture this. It's the year 2025, and almost every country on the planet is building a smart grid. Two-way sensors on wires and transformers allow parts of the grid to communicate with one another, distributing power more evenly and bringing into the grid irregular energy sources like wind farms and solar plants. Smart meters tell homeowners how much power they're using, how much they'll save by running the dishwasher at night, and maybe even what time to recharge the family car. But there are problems. Electricity is costlier than ever, and many consumers are blaming their smart meters for their rising energy bills instead of crediting them with keeping prices from rising even faster. How could it all go so wrong? Don't you wish you could go back 14 years and ask engineers and savvy consumers how best to construct and market the smart grid? But we can. In real life, it's still only 2011. So we at Spectrum are turning to you for the answers, and we're going to make it fun. For the second time, IEEE Spectrum has teamed up with the game designers at the Institute for the Future to create what's called a massive multiplayer forecasting experiment. Last year, Spectrum readers and engineers from all over the world tackled the trade-offs between water and energy. This time, we're asking you to figure out the future of the smart grid, and it starts next week. On the phone with me today is Jake Donegan, who is the game's project leader at the Institute for the Future in Palo Alto, California. He's also the research director there for Technology Horizons, a technology forecasting program. Jake, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Stephen.
Jake, for listeners who didn't get to play the water energy game, and even for those who did, because this one is different, tell us how the smart grid game is going to work. How is it played?
Well, the game itself, it's kind of a systematic engagement or conversation engine to get people to generate new ideas about a scenario that we're presenting and to test those ideas with hundreds of thousands of players all around the world. So what will happen is that a player will come onto the site and they will be presented with a scenario of the smart grid in 2025 that we've developed, and they will watch that scenario, think about it, and then dive in and start playing with their peers around the world. And they'll do this by playing basically Twitter size or 140 character size ideas, and they can play what we call positive imagination or dark imagination. So a positive reaction to elements of the scenario or things that they don't like and they want to call out and build on. And then that starts a conversation of which people can play, and they can respond to those ideas by either asking a question about it or building on it or resisting it or bringing up a counterpoint or adapting it. And so this tool that we have, the Foresight Engine we call it, basically allows people to generate quite a few ideas in a kind of an easy way, a low barrier way, and to develop a broad amount of ideas, and also to develop those ideas quickly and to iterate on them in a rather rapid manner.
So I guess, in other words, there's a sort of a brainstorming part of it, and then there's also a kind of SimCity construction part of it.
Yeah, I mean, you can think about it as a global foresight workshop where you're working with people all around the world to generate new ideas at one level and then to start criticizing, building on them, adapting them. And so you go through a whole process of new ideas and testing and honing those ideas as well in a rapidly iterative fashion.
That sounds pretty cool. So how exactly is it going to solve all the problems of the smart grid?
Well, wouldn't be so bold to say it'll do that, but it will allow players to think about elements of the smart grid that maybe they don't do in their regular life, or that somebody can bring up an idea that they haven't thought about and they could build on it. So it's, first of all, an opportunity to put yourself in the future and to actually give yourself the license to think about the future, which we tend not to do, with our heads down and working on the things in front of us. So one of the things that I was inspired by in reading the literature is the idea of a systems within systems approach to the smart grid. So trying to coordinate a system of, the classic grid, which tends to be slow-moving and very stable, with very fast-moving and innovative computer and communications technology, and trying to get those systems to work together. Well, we're adding a couple of other systems, thinking about the political and social systems of which this grid will live in, and then the system of time, so pushing it forward in time and seeing how might things play out over time.
And so I guess people can stay up until 4 in the morning with a six-pack of Jolt Cola and really immerse themselves in the future, or is it possible to just play for a few minutes?
Yeah, that's one of the great things about this format is that it rewards whatever level of engagement you want to give. So if you want to come in for 5 minutes and watch the scenario and just think about that on your own, or if you want to read what other people are saying and not participate, or if you want to spend 24 hours, drinking coffee all night and adding ideas and responding to other people's ideas and getting this conversation going, you can be rewarded for however you want to engage with the Smart Grid game.
And so you keep saying rewarded, and it is a game, so like there are winners?
Well, there is a game mechanism and sort of a point system involved. So players who come up with really good ideas that generate lots of conversations get rewarded with levels and badges and things that we add to the game. And you can immediately test your success by how much other people respond to it. And so it has that little bit of competitive element to it as well.
Can't really bad ideas generate a lot of conversation too?
They can, yes, but in our experience with the game, silly ideas tend to just sort of go away. You know, people don't really respond to them, and we try to weed those out as best as possible. If it's a kind of a provocative idea that builds a conversation, that's okay. Repetitive ideas or silly ideas will either go extinct on their own or we'll help them out.
So lots of non-engineers play the water and energy game. Do you have to be an engineer to play with Smart Grids?
No. In fact, this is one of the benefits of the format is that experts and non-experts and people with different expertise can come in and have a conversation and contribute. So if I'm an expert on culture, you know, I'm an anthropologist, I can say, well, you know, smart meters in, you know, this culture's home may not elicit so many privacy concerns as it would somewhere else. So I think everyone can give to the game their own expertise or knowledge in a productive way.
Very good. And it starts on Thursday, March 17th?
That's right. Yeah, 12 noon Eastern Time.
St. Patrick's Day. Are you a little worried about that?
Well, you know, by the end of the day, we may have some more interesting answers in conversation.
Very good. And I guess people can go to the Spectrum website, spectrum.IEEE.org/smart-grid-2025, and click on a link that says register now.
The game site itself will be smartgrid2025.org.
Very good. Well, thanks a lot, Jake. And as they say in Latin, ludi incipiant, or let the games begin.
Perfect. Sounds good to me.
We've been speaking with Jake Donegan of the Institute for the Future about the online game Smart Grid 2025, which starts on Thursday, March 17th at the Spectrum website. We also have links to last year's game on the trade-offs between water and energy. That game's designer was Jake's colleague, Jane McGonigal, and she has a new book out called Reality is Broken, Why Games Make Us Better and How They Can Change the World. For IEEE Spectrum's This Week in Technology, I'm Stephen Sherry.
This Week in Technology is sponsored by National Instruments.